Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
If you look at Connecticut specifically, in the last month, we just passed a new law that was really worked on for months after the governor had vetoed the original bill, after the legislative session this year. And already lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are saying it's a great foundation, but we have to keep working on it during the upcoming session. And somebody who consistently talked about housing on this show with us was Renee Dovis. And we so appreciate her being one of our housing experts on the show of Connecticut Housing Partners. And obviously the work that Connecticut Housing Partners, what it does for the state of Connecticut for so many decades. Renee, thank you for sticking with us, first and foremost, and for never getting sick of having these conversations on the air, because they're important.
Well, they're extremely important, and housing is, it's a crisis. It's a crisis in the state of Connecticut as well as across the country. And, you know, everybody knows how much rental prices are going up, you know, what it costs to buy a home. It's really a challenge, especially for young people. And I think everybody has heard the term food desert. Well, now there's a new term. It's called rental desert. And what a rental desert is if 20% of the available housing in a community is not rental, it's considered a rental desert. And 61% of the communities throughout the state of Connecticut are considered rental deserts. Mm. So what does that mean? That means if I'm a senior trying to downsize, I have no place to go within my community in 61% of these towns. So I have to leave the town that I've lived in. If I'm a child trying to move out into my first apartment, I have to leave the town that I'm familiar with. If I have a business where I need workers, they have no place to live near where I need them to work in my business. So it's really, there's all kinds of different studies and people are dissecting this and looking at this in so many different ways. And the data is out there for everybody to see and understand that we truly have an affordable housing crisis and we need more rental apartments. We need more housing to increase the supply, which the supply will then push down the cost. And, you know, and I'm glad that the legislators are saying, yes, we're going to still talk about this. We're going to still work on it. And so that's what we're going to have to do in 2026, you know, to really make it serious and drive it home. And the governor, he was at a conference about a month or so ago or a couple of months ago. And, you know, he's touting that he has created so much more affordable units. More than 13,000 units have been created since 2019. And he's saying that he is building more units than anybody previously has built. And so people are getting a little skeptical because we don't know what data he's looking at.
He's been saying that, Renee, I feel like since his address at the beginning of the legislative session this year.
Exactly. And so we're all, you know, us that are in the biz, right, we're kind of looking around and we're going, well, we're not seeing that data. Where's this data coming from? So I think, you know, he's really just basically looking at what's happening maybe in the Department of Housing or the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority and the activity. I'm not saying that they're not working hard. They are. There is a push. They are trying to get as many units through as possible. But of these 13,000 that he's talking about, 8,000 of them were really rehabs, which is also important. We have to keep the stock that we have. Mm. But that doesn't add. You know what I mean?
So right. Really, you're just retaining. Right.
Right. Yeah, you're just retaining.
I'm also curious, Renee, because as I mentioned, I am hearing from both sides of the aisle for different reasons saying that this was a foundation bill, now law, but that they have to build on it. I do know at the start of the new year, some of these provisions are going to go into place. And again, it's going to take time for them to roll out and to see the effectiveness of them. Governor Lamont, I asked him point blank on this show about a month ago, maybe, if he was willing to work on this anymore. And he said no. He said, I feel like we did enough. We put a lot of effort into this. We got to a good place. I feel good about it. Let's let it roll out. Let's let it play out for a couple of years. And then if we have to tweak it, we'll tweak it. And he said, but I want to kind of rely on the municipalities to now step up and do something with this. But he has no intention of doing anything with this. And does that concern you at all?
Yes, it does concern me because, as we talked about last month, you know, there really isn't a lot of teeth in this new bill that was passed. And it is leaving a lot of discretion to the municipalities. And we already know where the municipalities feel about this. They're not interested, you know, especially if you're in some of the bedroom communities. The zoning is a larger lot, say 2-acre zoning in some of the bedroom communities. So and they don't want multifamily housing in their communities. They don't want it, and they work hard to keep it out and push it out. And that's why, you know, there's so many builders that have to sue the municipalities to be able to get their projects to move forward. And, you know, I talk to the market rate developers myself, and they're frustrated when they want to try to go in and build, and they want to utilize 830G to have 30% of the units be affordable, and the towns freak out. So it's really a challenge and a struggle. And I'm not saying every municipality is like that. There are many welcoming municipalities, but there are a lot that are not welcoming.
So again, we are talking to Renee Dobis of Connecticut Housing Partners, and we're going to talk about some of the big success stories of this past year from a housing standpoint that specifically Connecticut Housing Partners had a hand in. But before we do that, Renee, what do you feel like were some of the, I just want to reiterate for people, some of the wins that came out of this new law, but some of the places where we need to address this in the legislative session?
Well, I haven't seen any wins yet from this. And so we're going to have to see how the municipalities address it and deal with it. I think 2026 is going to be the test year for us to see what happens. You know, we're actively building ourselves in Tolland. That was a project that took many years to get off the ground. We're hopefully going to be breaking ground in Monroe in 2026. We have a few rehabs going on, and then we purchased the big old Holiday Inn in downtown Bridgeport. That was a big win for us as well. And we have another purchase that we have on the horizon that we're hoping to close in February. So I feel from the Department of Housing and Connecticut Housing Finance Authority, I have a lot of support behind me. They're interested in the projects that we're doing, and they're very interested in building and preserving as much as possible. And that is that's the one thing I have to say with the legislators, is because they are putting money, giving money to the Department of Housing so that we can make these projects happen. They seem to continue funding that. They continue to fund the rental housing assistance program, which is extremely important. About half of those vouchers go to supportive housing, which we also participate in the supportive housing program, which is really people coming out of the homeless shelters, and we stabilize them with social services around them. So there's a lot of good things that are happening, but we need to all work together to make progress. And that's what I'm going to strive for in 2026.
So when we come back, Renee, I want to go over 2025 wins in Connecticut Housing Partners' opinion, some of the factoids. What were some big takeaways and the many people who benefited, which, by the way, Connecticut Housing Partners has been in Connecticut creating workforce and affordable housing for over 3 decades. It is a nonprofit organization and something that you can feel really good about. Towns and cities that have taken abandoned buildings, for example, and have created senior living facilities, or have created, again, workforce housing opportunities because of, you know, locally run and local contractors all coming together through Connecticut Housing Partners, partnering with the municipalities. And Connecticut Housing Partners is a nonprofit creating workforce and affordable housing across the state. And it's through partnerships and collaborations. In fact, they've been doing this for 35 years. Years advancing innovative and affordable housing solutions. And again, they collaborate. They partner up with municipalities, especially to develop and preserve housing for low and moderate income households, seniors, and of course, essential workers. And we've had the incredible pleasure for the last couple of years to have a standing monthly appointment, if you will, chat with Renee Dobas, who is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners here on this show. Because, again, housing is important. It matters to the everyday person in Connecticut, no matter where you fall on the scale. And it touches every generation in a different way. And so we appreciate the work that they do. And I love Renee's perspective because she's working with so many different people when it comes to housing in our state. I want to look at this last year, Renee. Boy, Connecticut Housing Partners was really busy and I think had a lot of personal wins that I'd like to share with people, because I think sometimes we get so caught up in the narrative of, do we like the bill? Do we not like the bill? And what's working? What's not working? And we still have a severe shortage, instead of, well, wait, actually, there were some really big local housing wins, especially here in our listening area.
Yes. So it took us several years. We have a 69-unit development down in Stamford that we are rehabbing. We'll be rehabbing a 44-unit development in Bridgeport. We're building new construction in Plymouth, Connecticut. We're going to be breaking ground in Monroe, Connecticut in 2026. We also are working on a big project in Bridgeport for expanding our existing supportive housing that we already have to add additional units there. And then the other thing that's really important that we don't talk about a lot is that Connecticut Housing Partners is a chartered member of NeighborWorks America. There's only 250 of us throughout the country. It's like having the good housekeeping seal of approval. And NeighborWorks America is funded through Congress. And the HUD and Transportation Committee actually approved funding for NeighborWorks, because the president's goal was to not fund NeighborWorks at all. So even though it was reduced funding, the fact is that they are getting funding. Hopefully it'll get through the Senate, get across the president's desk, which will be really important, because NeighborWorks America does really important work across the country when it comes to affordable housing. They also provide a lot of training for all of us, you know, because there's all different kinds of compliance issues that, you know, we all need to be aware of and take place. I think the commissioner, Sarah Mascaro-Bruno, is very hyper-focused on housing in the state of Connecticut. She is doing all that she can. She is being extremely creative. And, you know, I've worked with many different commissioners throughout my career, and she is the most innovative that we've seen. So, and I think she's innovative because she has sat in my seat. She knows what it is to be a real estate developer, and she understands the challenges. So she's been really trying to break down barriers. And I think because of that, that's why myself and the few other real estate developers for housing in Connecticut, our pipelines are very deep. And she's really trying to get as much done as possible. So those are all positive, good things that have happened for Connecticut Housing Partners.
Absolutely. We had a quick question, actually, from one of your listeners right now, Renee, asking about the Monroe project. And I actually have a breakdown of all the key takeaways from this year. But the question being, is the Monroe complex, is that senior housing? If you could expand upon that.
Yes. So Monroe is 49 units of senior housing. We've already have it approved through planning and zoning. And what's interesting about this project, this is our first project where we're going to have a septic system. You know, typically we're in, you know, using city water and sewage that gets connected to the buildings. But that doesn't, we have water in that area, but we don't have septic. So we were limited by how many toilets we could put into the building, so that we wanted to build more, make it larger, but we're limited to that, to have 49 units. And it's, you know, right on the main street drag. It's about a mile away from their senior center. So the seniors will be able to tap into that resource as well. It's on a bus line. And so we're really excited about the project. And the other thing we're really excited about this project is that Congressman Jim Himes, he also sponsored this project, and we were able to get through HUD $1 million to help fund this project as well. So there's a lot of people who are interested in this and very excited about it. So we're excited about it as well.
And certainly, I want to make sure people know that you can learn more about Connecticut Housing Partners. You could support the work that they are doing as well by going to their website, cthousingpartners.org. And Renee, we again so appreciate that you've dedicated coming onto the show consistently. I think that it's so important that we get all perspectives on this and we hear from people who are working on the grounds and talking to all the important I'd say folks in municipalities at the state level and in the construction world and developing world and everything in between. And so I appreciate you always taking the time to be on the show. And I look forward to our continued work together in 2026. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you. You too, Renee. And again, the website is cthousingpartners.org. If you want to learn more about the work that they are doing, have done, their 35 years of work across the state of Connecticut, and certainly goals for the future. We'll continue to have Renee on the show to give perspective on housing in the state.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.